Dear Colgate, I love that you love that I love being at home. You even let me whiten my teeth from home.
Because you know how I feel about getting up from my cloud couch.
The Colgate Optic White LED Kit gives professional level results in just 10 minutes a day for 10 days when used as directed.
And that's why, Colgate, I want you to meet my parents.
Because ever since meeting you, I've been living life to the brightest.
Colgate Optic White. Find it at all major retailers.
What do you love about me? I like your square teeth.
Dear Shandy.
Welcome back to another Dear Shandy Love is Blind recap, listeners. Hello, Andy.
Hello.
How are you today?
Good. It's going to be a spicy one.
Yes. We're still here. We're in the same outfits. We're doing this all in one sitting, but it was so much, we decided to divide it into two episodes. So this is part two of Love is Blind Season 6. We are now covering Jimmy and Chelsea and also Jessica and Trevor.
Nice.
Andy, you seem excited.
I mean, I'm excited the way I'm excited to smell something that's really, really bad.
Is that how you feel about cheese sometimes?
No.
Oh.
A smelly cheese, I don't look forward to smelling.
Okay.
Which is just upsetting to
me.
Well,
so give an example of
a smelly cheese just smells like a fart. Like, I know what farts smell like. I want to smell something that smells bad in a way I have never smelled before.
I disagree. I love a smelly cheese.
Well, then you love farts.
Okay, so Jimmy and Chelsea will go all the way back to the pods. He tells her that he was the first in his family on both sides to go to college. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people just do it, but he's very proud of having done it.
Yeah,
I thought this was nice. Yeah. She reveals she got married at 18. He was her high school sweetheart, not her person. Tense music playing here as though this is some sort of deal breaker. But he's kind of like, well, it doesn't scare me. Yeah. I mean, we have to note that this comes on the heels of Jessica telling him that she has a daughter, to which he has, I think, a decidedly different reaction. He made it seem like he was really cool with it. But I actually think that he was not into that reveal.
The reveal about the college?
No, the reveal about Jessica having a child.
Oh, he was definitely not into
it. Meanwhile, with Chelsea, therefore, you know, he was like, oh, you're divorced. Like, I don't care.
I think the daughter was actually a deal breaker. And it was one of two, I don't want to call the other one a deal breaker, but one of two reasons why Jimmy went the way he did.
Yeah, I feel weird saying that Jessica's daughter was a deal breaker for him, but I think that in his mind, if he's weighing two options that seem pretty similar,
yeah.
You know, similar to what Trevor said later. I love how he said this. I got to say, I love Trevor, by the way. We'll get to Trevor in a bit. But when Trevor's like, people have this idea of what they want to be with and them just being like squeaky clean. It's like they've never even kissed someone. They have no baggage. They have nothing. I actually think that that can be applied to Jessica, which is to say, I think Jimmy was sort of like, oh, I don't want to deal with that. I don't feel ready for that. And I think it definitely worked against her. But we'll get to that.
Jessica is such an incredible dichotomy. She is exactly what you don't expect from her story.
Yes.
She's the kind of person that is not what she is on paper.
Yeah.
And Jimmy put her on paper.
100%. I could not agree more. We'll get to them. Sorry, I'm already going out of order. I'm trying to stay so organized.
This is going to be tough.
He says that Chelsea being divorced doesn't scare him. He's heard other things about other people that have scared him more.
Dun, dun, dun.
She leads now. Okay, this is a big talking point. Chelsea leads a conversation here about celebrity likenesses. And she's like, oh, so have you ever been told you look like a celebrity? And he's like, oh, yeah, like I tend to get, you know, one. And she, fascinatingly, this is
so
fascinating.
Oh, we don't know. What celebrity do you look like, Jimmy?
I still don't know.
Oh, I don't know.
She asked the question, never got the answer.
Is it Brad Pitt? Is it the guy who plays James Bond? Is it the guy from The Hurt Locker? I don't know any actors' names. This is a sign, by the way. I've played this game. They said after 40, you can't remember any actor's name.
Oh,
any actor. I can't remember anybody.
Other than Brad Pitt. What a name. Yeah, Brad Pitt.
Every time I use an example of someone now, I go back to like the 80s, basically. It's like, Pretty Woman, Cindy Crawford. Elle McPherson, famous actor, Robert Redford. I'm like 100. You can't remember things anymore. I don't know. Name a movie. Name an actor. I don't know him. I don't know who he is. Oscar Isaacs. I knew it. I got him.
The Fugitive.
Oh, come on. That's an 80s guy.
I know. I was trying to get...
Name a new movie. I can't do it. Go ahead. Name a super famous new actor. Timothy Chalamet. I got that one. Anyway, go ahead. By the way, I also look like Timothy Chalamet. You know why? Because I have brown hair.
Okay, So let's talk about this. So she says, do you look like a celebrity? Do you ever get a celebrity likeness? He says, yeah, actually, I do. And then she's like, oh, yeah, I always get the same person.
She doesn't let him answer. No, I wonder why.
No, and then he says, oh, who? And she says, oh, but I don't really look like her. It's just because I have blue eyes and dark hair and like she does. And he's like, who? And then, okay, there's so many irritating things that ensue here. She says, Machine Gun Kelly's.
Oh, wait. No, she said MGK. you could break this down as one of the most annoying things that has ever been said on television.
Yeah.
She couldn't bother to just say the woman's name.
Mm-hmm.
She had to deflect and say the guy who she's engaged to or married to. Yeah. I didn't even
remember
that. She
said MGK's wife.
But she couldn't even say his whole name. She said MGK's wife.
Oh, it shows how out of touch I am. I didn't know.
I know because I'm on TikTok here and there.
Okay.
I only know recently too.
Okay.
Full disclosure. I know
I
who
thought Megan Fox was still with Brian Austin Green.
That is amazing.
Like apparently that was a lifetime ago.
That makes you better than me.
Yeah.
I know who Machine Gun Kelly is now because I've seen some videos.
Okay.
And I know that he goes by MGK. I found that out about 3 weeks ago, just coincidentally. And I do know that he's with Megan Fox because I saw a video where he gets into a fight with some UFC guy and Megan Fox is standing next to him. And I was like, oh, I didn't know Machine Gun Kelly's with Megan Fox. Anyway, that's not the point. The point is she asked this question solely to say that she looked like Megan Fox.
Yes.
She didn't care who he looked like.
Well, I feel like that is sort of, in a way, representative of a lot about Chelsea, which is to say she is so in her own head and so into how she comes off. It's also self-involved, but at the same time, she has no real self-love. So it's like this bottomless pit of her needing validation.
Right.
And then her saying this about the Megan Fox. You should not say this if she's the spitting image of Megan Fox. No,
if you are prettier than Megan Fox, you shouldn't say you look like Megan Fox.
Yeah. To choose a sex symbol.
She's synonymous with the hottest woman of the last 20 years. I mean, whether that's your taste or not, I'm not saying that she is the hottest woman, but when you think of hot,
she's a sex symbol.
She's in the dictionary under hot, it's Megan Fox.
Megan Fox was famous or is famous for hotness.
Yes.
It's not for her acting.
She was never nominated for a Golden Globe or an Academy Award. She was just known for being conventionally unbelievably hot.
Yes. I'm trying to imagine a world in which this could work out for anyone, even the most confident of people, but let alone someone like Chelsea, who is clearly extremely insecure and struggles with self-love, self-worth, self-esteem. So we're obviously going to get to this a lot more as we move on, but wow, what a misstep. And this was a crucial turning point in the story of Jimmy and Chelsea and by proxy, Jessica and Trevor. And I said this at the time when she said this and he was like, Megan Fox, you look like Megan Fox.
He was done.
And then she's like, oh, no, I don't actually look like her. I don't actually look like her.
Yeah, but that's what Megan Fox would say if she said she looked like Megan Fox.
And she tries to downplay it, but that's just not a comparison she ever should have made in a situation that is not supposed to be looks-based. She added an element. She cheated. She cheated. She infected the experiment.
She set herself up for disaster. It was an absolute sabotage of herself that was based out of insecurity.
Yes.
And she said that if you say you look like Megan Fox, if you are the hottest woman in the world, and you say you look like Megan Fox, and if someone hears that over the telephone, they've never seen you, they're like, oh my God, this person's as hot as Megan Fox.
Yeah.
Of course they're going to say they don't look like Megan Fox.
She was doomed.
Doomed.
Doomed to fail.
She pulled the pin on a grenade.
Yeah.
And she sat there with the grenade in her hand and said, I've won.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing there was a part of her brain that knew that thing was going to go off in 3 seconds.
Yeah.
And she put that out of her mind. She was holding a live pulled pin grenade and she said, it's going to be okay.
We have to talk about the other elephant in the room with this sort of situation, which is that the appeal that someone has when someone else wants them.
Yeah.
You know, and the women are living together, the men are living together. And I think anyone would say that conventionally speaking, Jessica and Trevor are like desirable, attractive people. And so I think you cannot separate Jimmy cannot separate Chelsea's appeal if Trevor wants her. And Chelsea cannot separate Jimmy's appeal if Jessica wants him. I think that that's another big factor in their appeal with each other is the sort of competition aspect. And I think that's one of the reasons Chelsea did what she did here.
She knew what she was up against. But the irony is, it's so deep-rooted what she's dealing with, is that she didn't think to herself, just like the
live grenade. What's this going to look like down the road? Two steps ahead.
100% that. But also, she didn't think to herself that he can't see Jessica. She's not visible to him, but she was acting like she was. That's how insecure she is.
So you think that she felt insecure about Jessica's looks and was trying... Oh.
She actually couldn't separate. She couldn't recognize that there's a wall between Jimmy and Jessica.
Yeah, yeah.
She was just like, I see Jessica. That means Jimmy can see Jessica. Yeah. Just like I am holding a live grenade, I am not going to die.
Oh, that is so interesting. Okay, I hadn't thought of that. Okay, so this was just such a misstep on her part and also just so self-sabotaging. There is no way anyone would benefit from having said this.
No.
Let alone, like I said, someone as deeply insecure as Chelsea turns out to be.
And I think this needs to start a new rule on Love is Blind. You are not allowed to say that you look like anything. You cannot say anything. If someone asks you what race you are, what family, they cannot ask. There's no subtlety here. Uh-huh. You can't ask what celebrity they look like. Yeah. You can't ask what color their hair is.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't ask what texture of their skin is.
Yeah.
Nothing. You're not allowed to ask those questions, period. Make that a rule.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, Love is Not Blind.
Yeah.
Jimmy looked over that wall. He looked right through it like Superman, X-ray vision. Yeah, he saw Megan Fox. He saw Megan Fox minus maybe 0.25. Yeah.
And this is why we applaud AD.
She said, I know you like booties and I'm gonna lie.
Yes, she showed such restraint.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll move on now to Jimmy and Jessica. Jessica, oh my goodness. No. Yes. So they bond quickly. After a while, she shares about her 10-year-old daughter, and he asks why this didn't come up sooner, which I think is interesting. Mm. Because I can see why she would wait.
Yeah.
You know, she didn't want to bring it up right away.
Sure,
she's like,
not?
I wanted you to get to know me for me.
I agree with that.
When you are taking away the looks piece, the whole point of this is that it's really about each other's personalities.
Yeah.
I thought she brought it up at the perfect time, in my opinion.
I agree.
And she says she didn't want to lead with it. He says, true, he wouldn't want to have told her that first. And he says, it's not a deal breaker. He asks some more questions. What's her name? And she says, her name is Autumn, like the season. You loved this, Andy. She says Autumn is her best friend. He definitely doesn't seem into this. In a later conversation, she reveals, we get to learn about Jessica. And oh my goodness, her parents struggled with drug addiction. Her father went to prison shortly after she was born. She was in foster care until he was out of prison. She lived with him for 1.5 years. Then he committed suicide.
Unbelievable.
And then she went into foster care where she met her chosen family. She was adopted by them at 16. And wow.
Can I just say something about Jessica? She is a perfect example of how it's not just nurture. Nature is very important.
Oh my gosh.
She was born a bull.
Yes.
Look at her.
Yeah, it's amazing.
If I went through what she, well, I don't know. Maybe I'm the same thing. Maybe I would have been better. I don't know. My point is that nurture played no part in who she is. She is a perfectly well-rounded, strong, funny, intelligent,
super
quirky,
sharp.
Like,
yeah, I mean, she really epitomizes strength. And to Jimmy's credit, he says he likes her even more for her experiences. And later on, she gives him a letter she wrote to her husband 2 years prior. He cries reading this, and he says he feels happy and lucky being the man who gets to read this, but he's not sure he can tell her what she wants to hear. So now things kind of...
All he's thinking about is Megan Fox.
I mean, we're laughing, but I think that it's a big factor. I think that the Megan Fox thing combined with the daughter thing.
Let me tell you something. Jimmy is a guy who wakes up, goes to work if he has to. He gets back home, sits on the couch, and he's watching college football from 6:30 to 11 p.m. This is a man who, if you say I look like Megan Fox, he's in. He's done.
Okay. So he thanks Jessica for sharing this with him, and she sarcastically says, you're welcome.
Yeah.
I loved this.
Perfect. You're welcome.
Perfect use of a perfect wrong use of a you're welcome.
And knowing it was a wrong use.
Yes. And this turns tense very quickly where he says he doesn't want to use the L word if he's not feeling it. He's acting like she's pressuring him to say it, which I don't believe she was. And then she gets upset being like, I'm not trying to get you to say something you're not ready to say. And I think this was really him projecting the fact that he wasn't ready to say it. And then he's like, look, I'm not ready to say it. Kind of reminded me of later on when he came to a gift given by Chelsea. And he's like, I don't have a gift for you, but I didn't have a gift for anybody. It's just like, just say thank you for the gift, dude. Just, that's all you have to say.
Yeah, you know, he's Jimmy.
That's
the Jimmy show. Crack open a beer, watch the game, and f*** Megan Fox. So Charlene, last week I watched the Super Bowl and guess who I saw?
Who? Who did you see?
I saw our friend Squarespace.
Oh, our friend. We love Squarespace.
I mean, they've really made it. You know, it's one thing to do a Super Bowl commercial when you're a new company and you got some investor money and you're just like, let's do it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's another thing when you've been around for a while and you're like, oh, you know what? Let's do a Super Bowl commercial.
I mean, it says something. Squarespace, do you know how good you've got to be in the web building business to have a Super Bowl commercial?
Think of how many websites had to have been built.
Think about how many features you figured out, how many templates, how many little problems you have solved that you are the premier destination for website building. So Squarespace, in case you somehow have not heard of them, is where you would go to build a website with little to no design experience. And this is key because not everyone has the time to learn how to code or put things in the right position on a site. Squarespace provides you with a template for that. Quite literally, they have all these templates, and then you can select a template based on what your website's purpose is. And then from there, they have a million features that you can choose from to make your website really serve you and be bespoke to you and your business.
And in all the websites we've worked on, Squarespace has never failed us.
No, if anything, every time I actually work on a website in Squarespace, I fall more in love with it. Like you would think when I'm updating a website, I'd be like, oh, I have to do this again. No, if anything, I'm like, wow, they now have this feature. Wow, look at this. Wow, you can do this now. You always hear me talking about it.
So tell them about those features.
Whether you want to just build a blog or be booked online, maybe you provide a service that would need scheduling. Maybe you want to sell product. Maybe you want to have payment plans. Maybe you want to have mailing lists or member areas. You guys have heard by now that I have several websites on Squarespace, ranging from DearShandy.com to CharleneJoint.com, which is my singing website. And obviously those two different types of websites, we're going to need different features, and Squarespace has them all.
So go to Squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/shandy for 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
Again, that's squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/shandy for 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
Cozy, cozy, cozy earth, cozy, cozy, cozy earth is what I like on my face and my body and my skin.
On your face. Oh, with their Cozy Earth towels.
Yeah.
Yes, we have the Cozy Earth waffle bundle on your skin, your lounge pants, and the Cozy Earth bed sheets.
Yeah.
Okay, I mean, your jingle really, it makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, you had a problem with it?
I guess I was trying to fact check, but I realized that your jingle's entirely accurate. I would say our skin, between the two of us, interacts more consistently with Cozy Earth fabric than any other fabric.
Oh, absolutely. There's nothing else that we do in life that is more interactive with anything than it is with Cozy Earth.
Okay, so Cozy Earth products made from viscose, from bamboo. They're sheets. You guys have heard us talk about them for ages because Cozy is a longtime sponsor, but we will never stop shouting from the rooftops how much we love these sheets. The sheet that stopped your night sweats.
My lifetime of night sweats that made your night uncomfortable.
Oh, yeah. And also made our sheets kind of yellow.
Jinx. Not a jinx I was looking for.
Also, they're super soft, velvety soft. They only get softer every time you wash them, yet they're so durable. You would think the main reason we got rid of the other sheets was the yellowing, but no, it was usually the tearing caused by one of your long, sharp toenails.
Yes,
but that never happens.
I'm glad we brought that up. Both the yellowing and the toenails come together.
Finally, all Cozy Earth products can be returned or exchanged within 100 days.
That's because they know. They know you're not returning it.
Yeah.
That's like a joke return policy. Not saying they won't honor it.
Yeah, no,
but
they will.
Know. They're like, you're like, yeah, you have 100 days. Go for it.
Yeah.
Let's see you return it.
Yeah. So if you've never tried Cozy Earth, we have awesome news.
You can save up to 35% off Cozy Earth right now, but hurry. This offer won't last.
Go to CozyEarth.com/Shandy and enter our promo code Shandy at checkout to save up to 35%. CozyEarth.com/Shandy. He says his feelings for her go without saying. And oh, Jessica, I love her.
She's the best.
She's like, actually, no, we can't see each other. Your feelings do not go without saying. You have to say them. She says he might be better suited to someone softer. And he says he's typically drawn to someone who lets him take the lead 100% of the time. Mm. And she says that she feels they should take a break. The more they talk about it, the more she feels like she's talking him into this. No. We were blown away by her. Like, she was had such a clear sense of what was being said, what she had said, what he was insinuating, what he was insinuating, she was insinuating. She was keeping track of this conversation. I was so impressed with her.
She is unbelievably well-adjusted.
Yeah. So this, I mean, this is really a fight. I would say this is the fight, right?
This is the fight.
And this ends with question marks. So we'll put a pin in that and now talk Trevor and Chelsea.
Hmm.
So they have a very fun dynamic, I have to say.
Yeah.
Turns out they both sleep with a fan on. I loved this because I also need to sleep with a fan on.
Is that so weird?
I don't know, but I was like, fans.
Yeah, really bonded over that.
She speculates that he might have a mullet and he's like, are you kidding me?
I mean, what she is good at is knowing when someone has a mullet.
Turns out, yeah, he does have a mullet and she loves mullets. They bond over their ideal life together. I just really liked them together, honestly. Mm. When they talk about like an ideal date being like volunteering, going to a shelter or a soup kitchen, I just thought that, you know what it is? I don't know if it's really Trevor and Chelsea. I just really love Trevor. He's so fun. I can't think of a better word for him than fun. I feel like he would be a fun partner.
I think Trevor and Jessica are good.
I mean, is it bad that I sort of want that to happen?
No.
Can I ship that?
You can ship it, but that ship isn't sailing.
He says he's narrowed it down to one. This date with Chelsea was the only date that day. It's the only date he wanted. She's moved by this. She asks if he has fears about, you know, what she looks like. And he says, you mean if you're not my physical type? And he says he's not worried about that. That's this experiment. He loves her. And she goes absolutely bonkers. Mm. And in another chat, she gifts him with a bracelet that buzzes when she's thinking of him so they can buzz each other. And Andy, you said that sounds annoying. You saying you wouldn't want a bracelet where I can just buzz you throughout the day so you know I'm thinking of you?
Yes, I would want that bracelet.
Oh, you're playing it all tough for this podcast.
No, because you would respect the bracelet. Chelsea would not. Would be like, you know, I buzzed you three times today and you only responded twice. It would be annoying. There's nothing that wouldn't be annoying about that.
Oh, so either you're not being buzzed enough or you're being buzzed too much.
Or you're just being buzzed at all. After a few months, you'd be like, get this thing off my wrist.
I mean, people wear those Apple Watches.
Yeah, but no one's buzzing them all the time just to buzz them for the sake of buzzing. You're getting a buzz because you got a text message or an email or a notification.
Yeah.
You're not just getting buzzed when someone's like, eh.
Yeah, but the whole point is that you love them. You want to be thought about, Andy.
Yeah, but if you need to buzz someone to show you love them, then there's a problem in that relationship.
Okay. Oh, there you go. That's an interesting point. Okay. What you're saying is it's too performative.
It's performative. And then it becomes a thing where you have to reciprocate. And if you don't reciprocate, it's a problem.
You know what it is? It's like commodified. It's like, now let's sell this thing. Let's sell this bracelet set. I bet you anything people Googled this after this episode and were like, I'm going to give that as a gift, a Valentine's Day gift.
Yeah. And every person who told their partner they were going to get that for them was received with not happiness.
Okay. So now we're going to talk post fight, because to me, this fight had between Jimmy and Jessica is a dividing line. This is the fork in the road where decisions are made. Basically, Jimmy goes straight from his fight with Jessica to telling Chelsea he loves her. In my opinion, it's connected.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no question.
Yeah, I think it's because of his fight with Jessica that he's like, oh, I have clarity now. It's Chelsea. I knew all along, he doesn't say he knew all along. He actually later says that he didn't know until the fight.
Mm.
You know, this is my thought on Jimmy. He is one, like you said, he's a simple guy. I think he wants an easy life. He didn't respond to Jessica calling him out on his behavior and being like, no, you're making assumptions about me that are incorrect. And he doesn't want that.
No, he left that fight. He raced into that room and said, I love you, Megan.
So Jimmy tells Chelsea he loves her, and Jessica gets wind of this from Laura. Mm-hmm. Laura's like, what happened? Tell me. And then she quickly scoots over tells Jessica.
That was pretty low blow.
And she tells Jimmy he owes her an ounce of directness. Jimmy tells Jessica he cares about her. She's going to make an amazing wife, .. for someone else. I love Jessica. She's great TV. And I also just agreed with her. She said he ruined this opportunity for him. There are other people for whom she wouldn't have been too much. He made it seem like she wasn't too much. And he claims he didn't know until yesterday their fight, which I think says it all. And she says, when you see and realize what you missed out on, you are going to choke. You are going to need your EpiPen to open your airways because you are going to be in disbelief of what you missed out on. Thank you for the experience. And truly, Jimmy, God bless you. Such a mic drop. Andy, you called her the best character we've seen yet on this show.
Definitely. On the whole show. This and the last season.
Oh, my goodness. How she handled this. Here's the thing. You know, you could argue that this was too harsh, you know, he had to make a choice or whatever. But I think it's obvious that he was overwhelmed by the prospect of her having a child, yet he continued to act like it did not overwhelm him. And therefore, when they had one fight, that it was instantly the straw that broke the camel's back because he already had one foot out the door.
I think his bias about her backstory won out here.
So now Chelsea breaks up with Trevor. She tells him that she can't give her all of her right now. And he says, can you give all of you to someone else? And she says, yes. And he says, do you have a reason why? And she says, no, I don't. Okay, so that's tick number one. Okay, next. He says, you're so sure about someone who was debating between you and another girl versus someone who's only been sure about you. To me, that's tick number two. I really think that a huge part of Jimmy's appeal to Chelsea was the fact that he was debating between her and Jessica.
The thing that put Chelsea over the fence between Trevor and Jimmy.
Yeah.
Was the fact that Jimmy was choosing between her and Jessica.
100%.
The thing that put Jimmy over the fence between Jessica and Chelsea was the fact that she said she looked like Megan Fox.
And the fact that Trevor also wanted Chelsea.
Yes.
And then third thing to note here is he says, did you already say yes to him? And she says, yeah. And he said, if I went first, would you have said yes to me? And it's silence here.
The answer is yes.
Let's think about this.
The answer is yes.
I mean, earlier, we have to note earlier when she was talking to Jimmy about saying, I love you, when they would say, I love you. And she said she hadn't told anyone yet. She was going to wait until she got proposed to.
Yeah.
Who's doing the choosing there? She's just waiting to be chosen. Like, who do you want? Who will you tell you love without any assurance in return? She's not making her own choices. She's just asked, you called her, Andy, you called her a ship without a rudder.
Wherever the wind takes her, as long as that's a strong wind, she'll go there.
As this breakup wraps, Trevor says, I tapped my bracelet about 100 times today. Poor Trevor.
Oh, man. Oh, God. 100 taps. Oh, God.
Okay, so Jimmy proposes. Chelsea says, yes, now we get their big reveal. The highlight going into this is Jimmy's confessional. There's a Freudian slip here where he accidentally says Jessica when he means Chelsea. And we're not really sure what to make of this big reveal. There's no music. It's super awkward. And then, you know, she's sort of like, they're really like up close and she's just like got his face so up close, like unnaturally close, in my opinion, if you've you're just meeting in the flesh. They sit and chat. He says he almost went home that morning. Nothing against her. It's been a roller coaster for him. She takes issue with this. I felt like he was already mitigating.
He was already building the Shawshank tunnel out of the prison.
Jimmy, in his confessional, says, she definitely lied to me about how she looks. She told me she looks like Megan Fox. But he says he's attracted to her and, quote, he can work with how she looks. I do think that it's possible people might get a little semantics-y here and say that she didn't say she looked like Megan Fox. She said she was told by some people that she does, that she looks like Megan Fox. But let's be honest, in this context, it's the same meaning. I think if you volunteer that information, what you're saying is, you know, even if you're saying I've been told that, he's going to hear.
Can I tell you something?
What he wants to
hear.
And
this is the honest truth.
Yeah.
If someone says to me, who I can't see, obviously, if someone's standing in front of me, I can assess whether they look like Megan Fox or not. But if someone I can't see says, some people say I look like Megan Fox, first another girl who says I look like Megan Fox, mm-hmm. the girl who says some people think I look like Megan Fox is probably more like Megan Fox. Just saying.
I followed that. I'm amazed. Jimmy tells her that she's gorgeous, but I gotta say, it didn't even feel like she was processing how he looked to her, how she felt about him. It felt like she was entirely focused on how he liked how she looked. To talk about the rudderless ship. I have no idea what Chelsea wants other than for her to feel validated.
Chelsea wants to be wanted.
Yes.
That is it.
It doesn't matter
who. It doesn't matter what the package is, as long as the package is acceptable.
Okay, so now we're in the Dominican Republic with them. Oof, there's a lot to unpack here. They're kissing, and he says, I totally forgot it was you. He says he has a bone to pick. Very interesting that he's going to bring this up so early. He says that when he told her he loved her, she wasn't supposed to tell anybody, but she clearly went and told someone because Jessica found out. And she's like, no, it was just Laura. I didn't know she was going to run and tell. And now it becomes about Jessica so quickly. He says Jessica seemed to think he had made a decision up, but he didn't have a decision made up until that day, which doesn't make Chelsea feel great, honestly. No. And he says, I didn't get any clarity, which kind of sucks. Mm-hmm. He's already rehashing. Mm-hmm. So you think he's digging the Shawshank hole more?
Yeah, he's got that spoon. He's already like 3 feet in.
He says Jessica brought up looks here, saying that he'd be holding his breath when he saw her. And it's amazing to me how they're like, judging this or mock judging this as though Chelsea didn't say that she gets told she looks like Megan Fox. Yeah. Like, what's the difference?
No, I actually think that Jimmy here, in a very subtle way, was trying to get intel on what Jessica looked like.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah, I think he was kind of fishing. Very, like, he was clearly, he couldn't just say, oh, by the way, what did Jessica look like? Yeah. 1 to 10. Yeah, no descriptives.
Oh, Chelsea, her eyes narrow at this conversation. Did you see that?
Oh,
she was like, what?
Oh, man.
In her confessional, she says it's hard for her to feel loved. And it's really great right now. And she hopes it stays that way. Even the energy of that confessional.
You know what, Chelsea? This is the thing. I feel bad for Chelsea.
I do too.
And I want the best for Chelsea.
Same.
But what Chelsea exhibits to me, which makes me upset, is that she's done no work
on
herself.
100%.
And it's annoying.
Yeah.
Like, I want to see if it's a sympathetic character. A sympathetic character needs to have tried.
Yes.
They need to have tried and failed.
Yes.
Not failed and failed.
Yes. And what she's doing is she's putting the onus on other people, and in this case, certainly Jimmy, to fill the bottomless pit within her of self-worth, of self-love, of actual confidence.
Which makes it a vicious cycle because all she's doing is making herself less desirable.
100%.
No one wants to be with that person.
No, even later on the beach, she immediately starts talking about tattoos. You know, have you ever been with anyone who's as edgy as me? Like, it's always so looks focused.
Yeah.
And she says being told I love you and you look pretty makes her feel very secure in her relationship. I have to point out the vast difference between I love you and you look pretty.
Yeah.
To her, they're the same thing.
Yeah, same thing.
She's so desperate to be told that. You're right. It's frustrating to watch someone who has done no inner work. Like, the sympathy can only go so far because the work has to be done by her. Right now, she's putting it all on whoever she's with.
There has to be a kernel of strength to have sympathy.
Okay, so she continues to fish. He continues to validate. And now we're at the couple's party. Very cute how doting Kenneth is. Bringing Brittany the chair and all that. All the women were swooning at
this. He's got some good chivalry.
Yeah. The girl, which means, I guess, Andy, that he cannot be that perfect.
That's correct.
The girls talk pretty explicitly about some of the guys' packages. I think this is not super cool for national TV.
I agree.
I think
not because it's so racy. It's because I don't think those guys necessarily should be
Exposed in that way. Yeah, like I think that if guys did that about women, you'd be like, oh my God.
It would be unbelievably inappropriate.
Uncool. Yeah. A weird exchange now where Jimmy comments on AD's butt. He says that she's stacked. And Chelsea seems very, like, they're both drinking.
I was actually amazed
at how cool she was.
I was like, Chelsea.
Yeah.
What are we seeing here?
Yeah, she's like, AD, we're talking about your butt. How do you get a butt like that? She's acting all cool with it, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And now Jimmy and AD get chatting. So now I think because Chelsea's not directly included in this conversation, she starts spiraling.
Yeah.
She doesn't include herself, mind you. Yeah. She just spirals away.
And to be fair, Jimmy, this was not, you know, great form on his part.
I mean, I agree, but I think that there are certain couple dynamics where it would be totally acceptable. Like in yes. our relationship, I might be like, wow, that girl's body, it's amazing. Oh, and you'd be like, oh yeah,
yes,
like
yes, yes.
We have that kind of dynamic. I do not think, I think that specifically because of Chelsea,
right,
the way
but
this was not cool.
What I'm saying is for Jimmy to not read the room to the extent where he thought Chelsea would be cool with him complimenting AD's looks and then going to chat with her for a long time. I think that's just a misread.
I mean,
that's all.
They are just getting to know each other and Chelsea acted like this was cool with her.
No, you're right. You're absolutely right.
She acted like, oh, yeah, no big deal. No. Yeah, AD. Like, she called across the crowd. How'd you get a butt like that?
I agree.
Like, it's all in code. How is he supposed to know if she doesn't say how
she
feels?
I agree. I do think this was another, like, 4 or 5 inches dug into that tunnel.
100%. No argument there. Hilarious how when Chelsea goes and chats with Amy about it, she's like, it's not me being insecure or having a complex or whatever.
Yeah, it's like a guy standing on like 100-meter platform over like Alaskan waters. It's not me being scared of heights or scared of cold water.
No, nothing to do with that. She recounts this interaction as Jimmy having spun AD around while looking at her body. Did we see this happen?
I did not.
This sounds inaccurate to me.
I believe that is an elaboration.
An elaboration. Yeah, I mean, we did not see that. And to me, there's a big difference between he being like, damn, that girl's stacked versus spin and let me look at you.
Yeah.
There's a meaningful conversation had between Kenneth and AD here about him dating White and them discussing whether or not Brittany can raise black children. Definitely a foreshadowing, it feels like there. And then we learn about Bean Dip. Jeremy tells the guys that Laura told him about Bean Dip, which is apparently like slapping AD's.
So I guess
Oops.
It's like you're going like in a with a chip into a bean dip, like you're like dipping your chip into
the bean
dip.
I have no
idea. Why is it bean dip?
But what gets blown out of proportion here is I guess he says that Laura told him that he should do that to AD, but she meant it jokingly, but he tells the guys this. And of course, Clay's like, excuse me?
Yeah, what the hell
is... Your fiance's telling you that you should slap my fiance's boobs?
But why the hell is he telling anybody
100%.
This?
Yeah, so the ladies are brought over and Laura's annoyed with Jeremy for having
As
told the
well
group
she
that.
Should be.
I completely agree. What is he thinking? He's what drunk.
The, he's drunk.
He's not a good drunk.
Why can't people hold their alcohol?
Why do they go on reality TV and not hold their alcohol?
Know your limits. That's what Clint Eastwood said. Man's got to know his limits.
And then he ends up leaving.
Ugh,
He just leaves the party. I was on Laura's side here.
How could you not be on Laura's side? I mean, should she have said that? Like, that's another discussion.
Oh, come
who cares?
On.
They're intimate.
Yes,
they can say all sorts of crazy stuff to each other.
Yes. The whole point is, like, you don't go and report back. That's what's so interesting is we have to remember Jeremy is in some ways closer with these guys than he is with her. Even though they've spent all these hours together in the pods, he actually hasn't spent that long with her in the flesh. And so it's sort of like he is taking this intimate moment of her telling him something jokingly in, you know, behind closed doors. Like, oh, yeah, you should try it sometime. Like, she's obviously joking.
He threw both of them under the bus for no reason. There was no upside.
Mainly her. Because then he's like, I don't know why she told me to do that.
But what's the upside?
Yeah.
What we're feeling be like, yeah, that's hilarious.
When he left, I said, oh, grow up.
Grow up.
Okay, so finally, we're going to wrap with Jimmy and Chelsea after the party.
Hmm.
She asks, what's wrong? And he's like, nothing's wrong. He's good. And she's like, I think you're lying to me.
Oh, dear.
I mean, projection 101, she's the one who's not good.
She's not good.
But instead of just directly being like, hey, this bothered me, she's like, what's wrong with you?
Yeah.
What do you mean you're good? You're lying to me.
Yeah, you're not good.
Can you imagine trying to decode this like every moment of every day? She starts to accuse him in all the ways about his behavior at the party. He apologizes and says that all he was doing in his conversation with AD was talking about how great Clay is and how
That's
great
true.
He thinks.
That's
yeah,
all
I
we
mean,
heard.
We saw the footage.
Yeah.
You could argue there is maybe a slightly flirtatious tone to this, but I think in that case, AD was contributing to that as well. I actually thought they were just having a polite conversation.
Honestly, Jimmy was drunk. He was out for the first time.
Yeah.
He was just trying to relax. And you know what's not relaxing is being around Chelsea.
She says if she had been included in the conversation with AD, then she would know that he was just talking about how great Clay is. But I'm like, you're an adult. you can go include yourself in the conversation. One of these people is your fiance, supposedly, and the other one is your good friend. Like, why are you pouting off there as a, like a child?
She's made victimization a self-fulfilling prophecy.
100%. He apologizes in all the ways, and she insists she didn't feel loved. It hurts, she says. It really hurts. She sat there by herself after he commented on someone else's body. How's that supposed to make her feel? It's like they're going around in circles where he's just like apologizing for everything she's saying, and she just never lets him off the hook until, I think this is very interesting, until he says, he's like, you're being unfair to me.
Mm.
He turns it back on her, and finally she's like, I love you.
What is going on here?
And then he says, I love you too. And she's like, are you sure?
No.
No.
What do you love about me? I like your square teeth.
Tell me, am I what you expected?
Yes.
Am I what you want?
I told you in the pause.
Are you 100% sure?
I am 1,000% sure.
Me.
I said, I love you every day. I'm going to love you for the rest of time.
But you hurt me.
I did.
You hurt me.
I did. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for hurting you. You're the best thing ever. I love you. There's nothing I'm more sure about than loving you.
You commented on another woman's body and then
I
left me alone.
I love your body. Your body's the best body ever.
How do you think that makes me feel?
I don't know. Where's Megan Fox? I was promised Megan Fox.
Oh, Chelsea needs to work on herself. No matter how much validation she gets from the outside world, it will never fill, like I said, the bottomless pit.
She needs to start taking ownership of her behavior and working on it. That's it.
Yeah.
And you know what? There's a good Chelsea.
No, taking ownership of love for herself.
Yes.
She's expecting someone else to provide all the love she doesn't feel for herself. And you cannot do that. That she will exhaust her options. And what will happen is other people will tire of it. I'm not even a big Jimmy fan, but I feel bad for him in this situation. Like
I'm not a big Jimmy fan at all. Not even a Jimmy fan. I mean, sometimes he is entertaining.
Yeah.
I actually am a Jimmy fan.
But like, there is no way someone won't tire of that. So she ends up pushing someone away with her own lack of self-love.
Yeah, it's never going to stop that cycle until she stops it. There's a good Chelsea inside there.
Oh, well, yeah.
But she's not letting one drop of it out.
No. All right, Andy. Well, I think that's it.
That's it. You know, I will say this. I like Love is Blind.
Yes.
The pods are tiring.
Yes.
I do not like the pods.
Yeah, you aren't even the one taking notes. Let me tell you.
No, I really feel for you. That's a lot of work. But I will say once the pods start to wrap and they go into the vacation, I like Love is Blind.
Yeah,
me
too.
It's a good show.
And the pods are sort of a necessary evil to
you have
build
to have
the foundation.
Yeah. I think they could probably cut the pods maybe 30, 40%. Maybe.
Okay, so let's cut to who we would go for.
Okay, this is tough because there's actually three that I could theoretically go for.
Okay.
Amy, Jessica, and AD.
Okay.
And
I agree with that.
I'm going to go with AD.
Oh,
she's badass.
I love AD. AD is the contestant this season who I want to be friends with. I also love Jessica. Like her smackdown of Jimmy was so amazing. And when I saw her in the previews, I was like, yes. But I agree. AD, I want to date AD.
Yeah.
I want to be the baby and for her to be my mom.
Yeah.
Like, I think she's like one of those women who just, you will fly with her by your side.
Yes.
And yeah, I support that.
All right.
For me, I would go for Trevor.
No. Oh.
I mean, Trevor, I'm not even into mullets. He's just so endearing. I just thought he was able to laugh at himself. He seems very humble, but also confident.
Yeah.
He's confident enough to be humble. You know, I also like it when someone's just like, I know who I like. I don't need to pretend that I'm weighing my options to make sure that I have my bases covered. You know, that's what takes confidence. It takes confidence to really only become invested in one person, put all your eggs in that basket in that setting, because you're not afraid of being rejected. You're like, it's okay.
Yeah.
If and I'm rejected, then I had it wrong all along.
And also, if there's ever trouble at night, you're out, you know, Trevor's a good guy to be around.
I mean, he's very strong.
Yeah, he's basically the Incredible Hulk.
Yeah.
He looks like Lou Ferrigno, who's the original Incredible Hulk from TV.
Did
the guy was painted green.
Did he have a mullet?
I think in real life he did, yeah.
Okay.
Lou Ferrigno.
Okay, Andy, I think that's a wrap then for this recap.
All right.
If you enjoyed what you heard today, you know what we will ask of you, and that is to like, subscribe, hit the notification bell, follow us on Instagram and
TikTok.
Leave us Apple and
Spotify.
Podcast ratings and reviews, tell your friends, and generally do all the things you would do to support a podcast you enjoy. Thank you so much for tuning in, and we'll see you next time on Dear Shandy. Bye-bye.